Well, good evening and a very warm welcome one and all to Dr. Rock's radio show here on peoplesinternetradio.com. Well, I've got in a couple of minutes, now that I know that everything's working, I'll go and pick up tonight's guest. Pat Valden very kindly agreed to come on and shoot the breeze with me about the various constructs, fictions and stuff that we find ourselves living amongst. I'm very much looking forward to having a talk with him and getting his point of view on it all. So, one more tune from the Beastie Boys whilst I hopefully get a successful Skype call to Pat, and we'll be back with you in less than 4 minutes, apparently. There you go, the Beastie Boys there, and she's crafty, just like this damn broadcaster and all these buttons and knobs. Well, hopefully I'm now joined live on the line by Pat. Can you still hear me, Pat?
Yeah, loud and clear, Doc. Loud and clear. Evening, folks.
Excellent. Good evening to you. Thanks very much for joining us on the show. It's really great to have you on, Dr. Rock. Real privilege, mate.
Yeah, I don't know so much of a privilege, but
so, I guess I like to start asking people by how they got involved in all of this stuff. Have you always been non-compliant and investigating history and the law and all of that, or did something happen to you that made you suddenly develop an interest?
No, basically, well, I've always had the interest in bits of history in between actually enjoying my work, you know what I mean? I really did. I mean, I've got to admit that I really enjoyed working so much that I became a workaholic. You know what I mean? But that's another story.
Yeah.
But it's just one of the things, you know, that you just go in and you learn wee bits from different people all over the world. You know what I mean? Different people, and things always stick in your mind. You know, and that's what kept me and. Well, when I was very young, I was supposed to be brought up a Catholic, you know what I mean? But I never seen eye to eye with it at all, because if someone told me that something wasn't right, you know what I mean? And I just body swept it as much as I could, you know? I really did. I just had no time for it.
Yeah, I guess it must be strange being brought up a Catholic and then discovering what's actually going on there, because it still makes my jaw drop.
Well, it's an age-old problem, to be honest with you. I mean, it's called the Crown Corporation now, right? But it's had a lot of morphing since the times when it was constructed in Tyre, which is basically around about the same time that the Uniform Commercial Code came into practice. Right? You know what I mean? So there's a lot of different elements to it, you know?
Yeah. I was quite surprised. I was playing a podcast last week which I'd come across, which pointed out to me that the English crown was handed over to the papacy in the time of King John, and was that manoeuvre was associated with the Magna Carta, which of course we're celebrating something like the 800th anniversary of this year. And I was pretty astonished by that. So it gave me some understanding as to how it is that the papacy, the Vatican, if you like, has got such a foothold over everything that's going on in the world.
Oh yeah, but the fact that the Vatican published the so-called nota proprio, right, shows you that they have lost control of everything. You know, when they're making executives exposed to all kind of allegations, fraud and whatever, that shows you that they have withdrawn the whole insurance bond from every executive in the world.
Yeah.
Every corporation.
Yeah.
So that tells me that there's a big wave that's about to hit the Vatican that they can't control. It's just damage control. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess they're trying to, they're probably hoping it'll hit the lower layers and not the upper echelons, I would imagine.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen.
It must have come as a bit of a surprise to them, because they've had it pretty much under wraps for a long time now, haven't they?
That's right, but a lot of it's down to people in the alternative media like ourselves. When we're here and we pass a lot of bits on, other people pass on more in-depth stuff, you know. But always remember, they are always on every side of every argument. Every side.
Yeah, and I guess they basically have managed to sustain the communications. I think that one of the things that's happening now is that we're actually able to talk to each other.
Yeah, well, it's like I said before, right? There were two legal systems, right? Worldwide. One of them is called the free men system. Why would any sovereign-born man or woman want a legal system? And it's been going on for centuries and centuries. You know, I mean, to me, the whole free man movement thing is a subjudicial system. It still works out in statute, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And by the Freeman system, you presumably mean the one that the sort of semi-freed slaves, do you? The old Freeman rather than the modern Freeman.
Correct. Yeah. No, I mean, the whole basic definition of Freeman, right, is a business or man friendly to Freemasonry without the threat of prosecution. How could they do that if they don't control the judiciary? And that has been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. Hundreds of years.
So do you think that was around before the Magna Carta? That's when it became...
I mean, the Masons have been here. The Masons and the Jesuits, I would say, right? Well, they weren't the Jesuits then, but they are now. I mean, the popular belief is that the Jesuits never appeared to Loyola, became the first general, which is totally wrong. It's only another method of brotherhood which has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. Thousands of years. Long before the so-called Bible stories, which to me are all making up. Actually brainwashed millions and millions of people. We all sorts of religions. It's not just the Christianity one. All sorts of religions. Everywhere. Everything has been, what do you say, pasted over everything. People's history, their knowledge, their beliefs, everything. It has all been, and people just don't see it.
No, it was another thing that really amazed me about the podcast I played last week is the man concerned who sounded to know what he was talking about said that basically the Vatican wrote the Quran as well as the Bible.
Well, it's not hard to figure things out. No, I mean, you can go, right, okay, right. We'll say 2,000 years ago, the Bible stories come out, right? Okay. In that text, the way you're taught, everything is, at the end of every story or anything that comes on, everything is written, right? Well, if it was all written, why did it take 600 years to write the Bible? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how convenient is it that when the Bible was being written, that Jesus was written into the story of the times 600 years before it. You know, I mean, it's proven and it's been placed that Jesus was invented in Nice. I think it was Nice, way back in the 1100s.
Really? Was there no sign of him up until that point?
No, because it's a total invention. I mean, take it this way, right? Now, I'm not religious in any way, by the way, right? I believe that we're created here by a divine creator, and I believe that's where everybody gets their sovereignty from, every man and woman that's on this earth. Right? Now, think about that kind of power. Why would that need human intervention? Right? I mean, you get the story that Jesus was the Son of God. Well, how come he didn't perform any miracles? You know what I mean? I know it's rumoured that he fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and a few fishes, right?
Yeah.
But were they eternal fish? You know what I mean? and somebody takes a bite out of it, another bit grows back. I don't think so. You know?
Yeah.
5,000 people with a few fish and a few loaves, it doesn't go too far. You know what I mean? It's like the bottle of wine that keeps filling up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. For its time, it was maybe, okay, right, it's a bit of fiction, people will take it on. You know what I mean? But as time goes on, it wears thin, right? And the Bible's only one. Now, Muhammad was, I would say, a prophet, the same as a man known as Jesus, right? But there's a lot of stories attached to both of them, right? But Muhammad's words, although they were all written down, took 60 years to put in print. You know, why is it, when everything's written there, right, that it takes so long to do this? Basically, the Bible was written by 70 scribes who dared not make a mistake in the stories that they were told at the pain of death. How many did, how many have suffered now? You know what I mean? And they're still suffering. But what I find the beauty of humanity, no matter what gets flung at we the people, we always still survive. Because to me, the agenda, their agenda for people, was lost a long time ago. What they're doing now is playing catch-up, because these people now have nothing new to fling at people. The fact is, we have everything, disease, plague. I mean, all that has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. They have knowledge of all these things. They have knowledge of how they came about, how to make them. But that has always happened throughout the ages. And every few years, many times in a century, all the way through history. You know, it's not an accident. No, it's definitely not an accident, where the thing that they're really, really trying to obscure people's minds from is the fact that they are sovereign. And they are a source of law and equity of everything that's on this planet. Everything.
And they are having to work harder and harder at that now, aren't they?
Yeah, correct. No, it's like the anomaly that I have used a few times on the shows when I've been to be honest with you, right? You put three items on the table in front of you, right? The one to your far left is the Creator, the one in the middle is the man, and the one to your far right is the Crown Corporation. Everything that they do is geared to confusing the mind of man, because of one reason: free will and choice. That's the only reason that there is. Nothing ever passes man to go directly to conflict with the Creator. Nothing. Because they're as terrified with the unknown as we are.
Well, either we're all sparks of the divine, or none of us are.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know what I mean? But everything on earth can either be proved or disproved. You know? But who can prove? Tell me anybody that's ever been on this planet, that has ever spoke, talked to, shook the hand of the Creator. Anybody. In any time frame. Who? Nobody. Not at all. That's why they had to invent it. They had to invent it. First they gave you religion, then they gave you legislation. Now, in modern day times, they give you voting and different things. It's still designed to rob you. If voting would make a difference to anybody, it would be illegal, the same as a hemp plant and different things. You know what I mean? It's the truth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the truth. It just doesn't wash. You know what I mean? Well, we can vote here. There's a thing that's going on now, right, with the new Scottish elections and all that, right? You're getting this. All things are about to change in Scotland. People at 16 will be able to vote and all that, right? Well, me personally, I think that's a mistake, because I think a lot of the young ones are not as dumb as what the parents are.
I think you're absolutely right there. I think one of the biggest sources of hope is how informed the younger generation seem to be. A lot of them are well aware of the corporate side of things. I'm not sure that many of them are aware yet that there's anything they can do about it, but they'll be following that information up pretty quickly. And it is for them we're doing the work, really, isn't it?
No, Well, you better believe it, because that's why PIR, TNS, whatever, has survived, because it grows, and the people that are in it are survivors. They're not passengers. We're all survivors, and we all survive in our own right. And the one thing that you never hear of on PIR is a big four-letter word, fear. Because we don't do it. What's the point? Afraid of what? Why should we, the rulers, basically, of this earth? And I mean, I don't just mean Scots, Irish, and English, or Welsh, or I mean everybody on this planet. We're the rulers. That's what they are trying to hide. Many countries around the world are being told that they don't have common law. Russia, various other places. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And people
How can they not have common law where people are?
Yeah.
It's impossible.
All over the planet, it's still men and women. There's nobody between them and the prime creator either.
Nothing. Nobody has a force over anybody.
But they kind of tell you, don't they? Because I remember, because I was an evangelical Christian for a while, so I read the Bible quite a lot before seeing the light properly, as it were. And I was always struck by the fact that in the King James Version, it points out that God created the heavens and the earth, which is fair enough. But all of the stuff after that is the Lord God that does the creating. And for some reason, they put that word Lord in capital letters, which really struck me. Do you think that's significant? Do you think they're telling us something there?
Well, put it this way, right? If it's a capital letters, what is it? It's commercial.
Yeah.
And birth certificate, commercial. Everything is commerce with these people. Everything, right? I mean, you take it. Benefits, right? So if I'm talking about benefits, right? People are on there, oh, I'm getting a benefit, and they feel ashamed, or they feel a guilt that they're no working the day and this and all that, right? We're the sovereign population on this planet. We are the source of all law and the source of all equity for everything that has to be built or made. Why? Because we are the sovereign under the Creator, and we are the stewards of this earth. And as the stewards of this earth, we are the equity receivers and the givers. That's what the benefits are. That people so-called get paid, they're not benefits. To me, it's a means-tested method of sharing a minute amount of the equity of Mother Earth.
It's so small, it's not even minute, really.
That's right. It's unbelievable. I mean, if, take it this way, right? Every man and woman on this earth, right? The way that I understand things to be, right, are all rich in their own way, because they are the creditors for everything in this world. If all the elements in this world belong to all the people, then everything that's made from the elements also belongs to the people. Nobody has any right to commercial so-called property, because commercial is a construct.
And it's not only that they give us time. I mean, the benefit thing cuts both ways. They make people feel, people tend to feel guilty about taking the benefit. But I think an even more important effect of it is, and I come across it time and again, that people somehow seem to be convinced that the small number of people who are taking this tiny amount of benefit are somehow scroungers, but they don't seem to object to what the auditors and the bankers are doing, and I can't see how they're making that work. It's a hell of a sleight of hand.
They're all the same, right? Because they're indoctrinated. That's why the school system and everything was all started, right? To convince people that they are this fiction commercial name that's supposed to be on the birth certificate. But years ago, people were convinced that was him. He used to sit there and get the papers in. Ah, you've been called up to the army. Oh, good, I'm away to fight for Queen and Country, or the King and Country, or whatever, right? What country are you fighting for? Doesn't make any difference where you are in the world. What country are you fighting for? Because they're all legal. All the borders are made up. All the country names are made up. And they would like you to be made up so that they wouldn't have this problem. The people going, well, that's not my name. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then again, when you don't, when you go to the court, as it was done when I'd done somebody else a favour, the judge wouldn't talk to me. Yeah, I went, okay, that's fine, right, let's go. So we'd be wound up, right? Took him 2 hours after we left to write the warrants for non-appearance, right? How does that work? If you're not accepting that legal name, that doesn't mean that you can get in there and go, oh, well, I'm Jimmy So-and-so or I'm Fentland. You don't have one. You have a family name. And that's what you're born into, long before the Crown comes into possession of your details, when you're at birth. There's a crack, there's a cracket call you'll hear when Robert Boy puts a few of the videos up, right? He was talking to, this is so stupid, right? Talking to this woman that's connected to the DWP and all that, right? And she can remember the first day she was born.
Can she now?
Yeah.
Blimey, that's impressive.
Well, I don't know, right? Right, and she can remember being told her name and signing. You know what happened? Signed a contract when you're a day old. Aye, okay. But it just shows you the indoctrination of these people.
He's got that. He's got that on tape, has he?
Oh, aye. He's got it in video. He's got, oh, he's got another one. That's a cracker, right? This guy's on DWP again, and he's talking away to this guy, and the guy says it umpteen times. But sir, the DWP is not a fiction, and neither am I. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I turned in the plunger a couple of times because I thought I was going to wet myself, you know what I mean? But when you see these full videos up here, and Robert will be explaining what the story is, and you know what I mean? And, oh man, it's unbelievable. These people, a lot of the people working there actually believe that we are the plebs of this earth.
That we are the what, sorry?
The plebs.
Yeah.
You know, and the unemployed are worse than that. You know, that's what they believe. They have no understanding whatsoever that they, along with every other man and woman on this earth, own everything that's in it. That's why it was given. Mm.
We are the value added, aren't we?
Correct. Correct. If there's no people, there's no equity. Simple as that.
Yeah. Without us, nothing happens.
No, nothing at all.
Again, all about face, really, because we're the ones that are adding value to everything and yet getting taxed on it. That's, I just keep coming across people who seriously believe that that taxes are paying for their roads and that taxes are paying to have their rubbish removed. And, I mean, quite apart from anything else, when you look at the amount of the number of gaming tokens that are being spent, I can't imagine how they think they're getting enough tax out of us to pay for all of the stuff that they're doing.
Well, it's very simple, because all they need to create and hide what every individual on this earth is worth is your signature. Mm. Because that creates every piece of credit that's on this earth. Every piece of credit. You tell me anything that's connected to commercialism that you don't have to sign your name for.
You sign your name, they give you a number, job done.
Yeah, but in return, you're giving them, because they have your so-called name, but they commercialise it, right, which has got nothing to do with it, right? They think because your name's in their register that they own you, and everything that you own is theirs. No bad trick we can get away with, eh?
Well, certainly not. No, indeed, and registration's everywhere now, something definitely to be avoided, in my opinion.
Yep. Registration is a tool that they're hitting everybody with. I mean, that new advert now for the Scottish Government, if you don't register to vote, you can be fined, right? Now, they've already done this way back in September 18th last year, right? Everybody rushed to register their vote, so-called because of a £1,000 fine. That £1,000 fine is coming back. Register your vote and get voted no on again. know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's anybody that thinks that that no vote was real is really not dealing with a full deck.
I think the funniest registration request I've seen recently is the county council, so-called, in Powys, have been writing to everybody and asking them to register, or demanding, basically, that they register their cesspits. So they're even trying to register the shitholes now.
Yeah, but there's something coming down the line in a few years' time where that'll be put to good use.
Well, absolutely right. But you see, I think it's quite interesting because people who it wouldn't have occurred to not register for, say, something like council tax, as far as I know, most people are just throwing those letters away. They're just not registering because I think, at least to a certain point, they may be starting to see the wood for the trees, as it were. And I think that's quite amusing that it's something like that, like your kludgy pit, that's actually waking people up.
Yeah, correct. Because, let's face it, right? A lot of people are afraid to ask a question. Where is the law that demands any man or woman on this planet pays a tax, is obligated to pay a tax? Nowhere. In fact, I'll tell you another one there as well, while we're on the subject there, phone calls and that, right? DWP, right? Not DWP, the DVLA, right? And what are the calls? And you'll hear it as clear as day when it comes up, right? As clear as day. Taxing your car is not a demand. It's a request. A request with menaces. You ever heard of that?
Yes, yeah. Quite serious menaces.
Yeah, but it's a total corruption. I mean, they try and hide the fact that every hate-mail attack in the world gets filtered through the Bank of England. Every hate-mail attack, because there's not one penny of tax goes to any local government anywhere to pay for anything. I mean, if they'll sit there and rip off you for putting donations into a charity for so-called struggling kids, blind, disabled, whatever they think, right? You tell me any of the kids in numbers who have been helped, and I'll have another look at how serious they are about it.
Yeah, same for cancer research charities and all of it. All of the money's getting diverted. In fact, it's...
Cancer research. This one really bugs me, that, right? Cancer research. Help us find a cure. There's about 300 cures out there for all sorts of cancers, but nobody gets told about them, do they?
No, not allowed to, mate.
No danger. You know what I mean? Charity's big business, man. I mean, look at the guys that are in it. They can make 260, 300 grand a year. Where is the charitable attitude in that? £260,000 a year is a lot of people's donations, and that's only the one legal person.
So many different ways of getting money, well, getting what passes for money out of people. We were talking a bit earlier about the tax thing, and I was telling you about a man I was talking to who said that although there might not be a law requiring us to pay tax, he said we are kind of, and the way he explained it to me was, he said your social security number is a bank account, and you are hence a trustee. And it was his theory that if you've used that social security number even once,
God, see, at the end of the day, all this quiche about trustee, beneficiary, and everyone like that. It's not the case, right? Every council, every government out there are the trustees of our welfare, not the other way around about. They're supposed to be there to distribute our wealth, not us to pay for their wealth. That's the whole truth of the matter. Let's face it, everything that happens in the commercial world, right? You put the commercial world just on its own, right, go like that, right, okay, that's sitting there, somebody's got to pay for it. Who does the pay? People. Now, how do they pay that? They pay that with the pittance that they're getting off the governments, that the corporations have written this whole Mother Earth offer. Every mineral, diamond, precious stone, so-called, whatever, Aaron, that is all our equity, all of us. And you think how much that system steals out of this country alone in a day. The time you pay taxes, charges, water rates, electricity, fraud stuff and all that. How does that equate money-wise? They're paying out millions every day to that European Union thing. Where does that come from? Who's paying that? We're paying that.
Yeah.
So why should we pay taxes? Where is the allowance for equity, your equity, and anything, say, when you buy a car, a washing machine, a new kitchen, whatever? Where is your allowance for equity in that product? You never see it. It's never spoken about. Is it?
No allowance made for that at all. In fact, it seems to me that the amount that's being taken is going up and up and up, and the amount that's being given is now vanishingly small, and it doesn't look like it's getting any better in the near future.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The whole system is a scam. The whole legal system is a scam. It's like, okay, right, we got all this stuff with the legal system, right? These people are out here and they take an oath. To who? Are they taking an oath to another man or another woman? No. They're taking oaths to entities. The entities can't record, can't acknowledge or accept any of the oaths. So who's getting the oath then? All this rubbish we get here about, I will pick them up in the roast and all that. And pick them up in the roast all day. What are they doing? The judges especially, they're out there and they're doing administrative hearings all day long. All blasted day long out of their so-called office. Well, to my mind, they are never out their office, because if they're administrating anything or even in a trial as a judge, who gave them the power to judge you? Another man. Who gave them this power?
They haven't really got it, have they? We're technically supposed to be judged by a jury of people who know us, not by an individual in a wig, I thought.
Anybody that's sitting there in a wig, even suppose there's three of them or a dozen of them, right? Where did they get the power to judge any man?
Do you know, I once heard a judge on Radio 4, and he was asked where he got his authority from, and he said something like, from Yahweh, from the same place as the Old Testament judges. So he felt he was getting his power from God.
Why? Well, in a way, he's right. He's not telling any lies there. He's just misrepresenting the truth.
That's a nice distinction, Pat.
It's as simple as that. That's what they're doing. Because where does all the power come from? Comes from the Creator, doesn't it?
Yep.
So where do they assume the power to judge another man? It's simple.
How do you think it is that they think they're so different from other people with two eyes, two arms, two legs and all the rest of it? Because these people clearly do believe they're different, don't they?
Five-letter word is very easy to say. Very easy to say, and it's a hard taskmaster. Greed.
Just greed.
Yep, that's it. Mm. Greed. You could turn it into another word, you could call it avarice. Yeah, there are a lot of things you can do, but it still comes back to greed. Mm. You know what I mean? They want more than the next man's got.
Yeah.
To what end? Right? Okay, well, say for talking sake, they're out there and they're billionaires, right? How much of that fortune belongs to every man and woman on this planet? Our equity, don't forget. Nobody can make any money on this planet unless they're using our equity. That's the bottom line there. I mean, to me, that is what sovereignty is all about. You protect, that's why we do not have the means for, or even want the means for, armed revolution. Because before legality came here, everybody lived by common law. Other peoples had communities, they had Breton law. I mean, most of Europe and the whole system coming right up to Scotland, Ireland, we all had Breton law. And there was no place in it for police or judges or lawyers.
When do you think that was? I mean, if you put the start of all of this back at Tyre, when do you think we had the Breton law?
I think but Brian Law was there at that time, because if you follow the story, which to me is quite plausible, but in any manner at all, it doesn't make any difference, because the people came to these islands, right? And we were all Scots Irish, originally from Ireland.
And you came from the Middle East, do you reckon?
No, there again, I think there was a bit of corruption. You'll hear stories going about, it can be anywhere, right? But there is stories there that puts a case for Ireland to be the home of the original people who went to Egypt to escape the flood.
Right. Yeah, I don't find that entirely unlikely. I've heard similar stories of
underground seas.
Yeah.
Underground seas came, and when they came, they split the islands and Scotland and Ireland into two different islands, right? Now, that worked out there where they people, in fact, many years ago, and I don't know if you remember it right, and you used to hear people talking about the Pillars of Hercules, right?
Yep.
I always used to think, all right, okay, Pillars of Hercules, it's got to be the Mediterranean or somewhere like that, right? Where do you think the real Pillars of Hercules are?
Don't know, tell me.
The Giant's Causeway between Scotland and Ireland.
Okay, which was once not sea, presumably. You were once connected.
Oh, that's right. They were all connected at one time.
Mm.
Before the so-called massive flood, well, one of the four floods, you know what I mean? But that's what, and then again, you've got the Hill of Tara, where in the big building there, you'll see that there's two halves, two great big basins, right, which are supposed to be the two halves of the moon, explaining the whole travel of life for man on this earth. That is in the Hill of Tara. But the Hill of Tara, the building on it, is waterproof.
Yeah.
Built out of stone, but it's been waterproof, and it's been there for thousands of years.
Do they know, has anyone found out how old it is, precisely? Is it age?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think at the end he's got a date on. But when you look at, well, put it this way, right? Noah's Ark is a wooden ship, is a wee bit unbelievable, you know, think so?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's what it was at all.
But the Hill of Tara, with a waterproof building at the top of the hill, what would be the point of that? I'm not saying it's anything to do with the Bible or anything like that, right? But if that was the case, right, and the Irish at the time were there, and they were trying to escape the flood, which they thought was never going to stop, and they travelled to Egypt and all the faraway lands, and then thousands of years later, the populations are growing again, and they're starting to come up through Europe. You know what I mean? So the people are coming up through Europe, Yugoslavia, the whole lot of Europe, everything. All the people are all coming up there. But the spearhead for that movement, and it takes thousands of years, by the time they get there, the population's growing, people move on, right? A lot of the skills were lost that they had when they left Ireland to go to the Middle East and whatever, right? A lot of these skills were lost. Wee bits at a time as they're coming up all through Europe, through Russia, everything. They're all connected. All the people came back here, and the spearhead ended up here, Scotland and Ireland, but in Ireland first. The Scots came here with Princess Tan.
And they brought the Brehon Law with them.
Yeah, they all practiced Brehon Law at that time. But Brehon Law was a fair law, because it had to be administered by someone who could practice fair justice. A man that's sitting there with two cows and a couple of sheep could not exercise justice on everybody. So they had to be able to afford to make that justice. But they also had a penalty if they made a bad judgment, because they could be high and mighty today and be nothing tomorrow, just be a bad judgment.
Well, I guess true justice is going to apply as equally to the people that are administering it as it is to the people upon whom it's being administered. which is one is certainly not a characteristic that can be identified in today's system.
That's correct, 100%. And what's the golden rule?
Do unto others as you have done unto yourself.
Correct. But take it in another frame where you're talking about law. No injury, no harm, and no loss to another. So if you're practicing that, how can you purposely make a bad judgment against any man or woman? Because don't forget, that jury is still sitting there. And the jury is the whole people. And they're watching your decision. You're responsible for what comes out of your mouth.
And you see, that's another thing that really strikes me about what's going on at the moment is that most people, I don't think, do want to cause others harm, loss or damage. And yet the harm, loss and damage being caused by the administration is absolutely overwhelming. And again, people just don't seem to be interested in noticing it. Well, not so far. I think they're starting to, maybe.
What carries the blame for that, to be honest? What carries the blame for that illegality? People in the system. People are partly responsible, but the system is wholly responsible, because there was no legality, there'd be no illegality. The pure lawful attitude was lost, and that's the reason it was lost. I mean, Brehan Law to this day still has a guardian in Parliament in Scotland. You know, for a law that's out there that's supposed to be outdated and not used anymore. Why does it have a garden?
There's that guardian. You've got a guardian in the Scots Parliament for Brehan Law.
Yep. Nobody talks about it. But you do have Scottish common law, the same as they have in Ireland. But the common law and Brehan Law must have worked hand in hand. Must have been. The two systems could not have been very much different at all. You know, because I would say that Brehan Law was mostly exercised by the outlying communities away from the towns, before the churches, the chapels and the schools and everything were all inaugurated, or the town halls or anything like that. No, away from all the wee market towns. And every town and city in any country, they're always the same. That's when all these things happened. And then when they start to do that, where did they lay the punishments for not complying? When people didn't even recognise them, on the people who lived in rural areas, who were never near the towns and villages, and they had no control on them. That's where most of these people come when you hear the stories of the so-called famine. It wasn't famine. There was blasted outright murder. The ships leaving everywhere. Liverpool, all the main ports in every city, everywhere. Wales, Ireland, Scotland, England. All these ships that left here never made their destinations. And it wasn't because the seas were a lot wilder. A lot of these ships were sunk here, and they people murdered by drowning, all registered to be away from their land. The horror stories of that, man, is unbelievable. You've got the Highland clearances. That was the same. It was an excuse. It was the same as the so-called famine. I mean, the amount of food that was getting exported, and I was just sitting listening to Ray Hall there a couple of weeks ago there, when 67 regiments in Ireland taking the food out of the country every day.
I was really amazed when I first found that. That was a big awakening for me when I first discovered how much food was being exported from Ireland during the so-called famine, and even people with the animals, with the food, all on the same boats, and yet we're, the majority of people still believe that myth.
That's right.
So in your face as well, isn't it? I mean, it's so...
That's right. I mean, the way that they planned the split up of Ireland, the split up of Scotland, the addition between Lower Scotland and England, all morphed into one, right? That was all planned years and years and years, donkey's years before it. You know what I mean? They are so far ahead with people that it's unbelievable. You know? I think it's really murders, and it was planned, but it was planned by few people. The ones that committed the act were the people themselves, who slaughtered their own kin, man and woman. They slaughtered them. And that's the reason there, right? The reason for Catholicism and Protestantism, right? That was all started by, well, the biggest party, right? In 1690, when William of Orange and James, his cousin, two best pals, decide to run an esoteric exercise granted by the Pope, believe it or not. Right? And they went out there. William left the shores of England, a prince, and came back to England, an esoteric king. James went to France. You know what I mean? Then they tell you you've got a King James Bible. It's ludicrous, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And what sort of esotericism had James been studying then?
They're all into it. They've always been into it. The esoteric side of things has been going there for the monks and Akhenaten's father's team. You know what I mean? They were the real secret society then. The Ahmed monks. They were the real secret society. And they were running behind the so-called royal, right? But Akhenaten got deposed for one simple reason. He believed that there was only one true God. Right? And if you read the Bible stories, Akhenaten's young brother got murdered. He escaped. Right? And if you read the Bible stories and you follow the stories going up there, who was Moses? Moses was Akhenaten.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of stuff there that people just, it gets by them, but I don't know why they don't. I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm not very well educated, but, you know, when you're dodging shit, you're dodging shit, you know what I mean? Why can't you just take it for what it is? Dissect the stone. Take it to the simplest means you can take it, and you can't take it anymore. Where did all these people come from? They didn't just jump out the woods and go, here, I'm here. You know what I mean? Or somebody created them out of burning bush or something like that. It didn't work that way. No.
They think about Moses and his Ten Commandments. Basically, they are instructions on how not to cause harm, loss, and
there's
damage.
That's another story, right? Okay. Moses, yeah, I don't know what people think of this, right, but it's a story, let's face it. Moses is up a mountain for 40 days talking to God, right? Now, supposedly, he's up there and he's learning how to be able to do things right. Okay? So he's up there for 40 days, comes down the mountain, and the people hadn't changed a bit, right? And they're playing themselves. They've lost all notion of natural inherent law, divine law, whatever was going. So they're out there and having a high old time themselves. What's the first action that Moses did? Breaks the tablets with the commandments on it. That's very convenient, that, you know? So how did the Ten Commandments survive if they were broken bits? So what the nonsense, you know?
Yeah. I still think they were basically quite good commandments. You know, I mean, I think that's...
Aye, but the one they made up in the mountain, though, you know what I mean?
No, right, fair point, so, yeah.
Somebody made that, right, and let's face it, right, if somebody was out there and making commandments for mankind to obey, right?
Yeah.
How come thou shalt not kill number five, say number one?
That's a good point, isn't it? Isn't the first one is thou shalt have no strange gods before me, isn't it?
Aye. You know what I mean? I mean, it's ridiculous, man. Really is ridiculous.
And for a bunch of Christian societies, we do an awful lot of not killing.
Well, you tell me anybody that's vehement about religion, and I'll show you somebody that's got cruelty in their heart.
Again, it was, we're brought up to think that that religion is one thing, and slowly but surely we discover that it does seem, unfortunately, to be absolutely behind all the things that really need sorting out: the courts, the schools, the whole shebang. Just a bunch of men.
Take a look at slavery, for instance, right? How many of the real slavers that enslaved half the world, how many of them were stand-up Christians? Allegedly. You know? I mean, we had one in this town here who had 21,200 and some personal slaves.
God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
21,200 and what? you think on the damage that was done to mankind as a whole because of slavery. Just slavery itself, right? The robbery that has given to humanity as a race is astronomical, man.
Yeah. And the amount of emotional, well, yeah, just carnage. Human carnage.
That's right. Human carnage. And every aspect of the world. How many slaves died getting shipped across shores that they had never even thought existed before? You know, to me, that is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
We got a question from Nick in the chat box, Pat. He's saying, do you reckon that Moses breaking the tablets was the withdrawal of an offer? So no covenant, no contract.
By God.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Pat, shall we have a bit of a tune and a bit of a comfort break?
Yes, why not?
Yeah, you're doing really well there. But we've been talking for over an hour, so I think you've earned a bit of a break.
I'll just grab a cup of tea then, right?
Yeah, brilliant. Go for it. I'll stick on two or three tunes. Give us a bit of a gap, so there's enough time to drink your tea as well as make it. And okay. I'll stick on Ten Pole Tudor and Over the Hills with the Swords of Swords of a Thousand Men, and we'll be back with you in I should think 8 or 10 minutes or so, folks. I'll see you in a minute,
okay,
Pat. Okay.
See you later, mate.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Dr. Rock's radio show on peoplesinternetradio.com, where we're talking this evening live with Pat Velden. That was Smiling Ivy and Efficient Waste of Time, which I guess is just exactly what's going on around us. Before that, Transglobal Underground, I We Soldier, Stand and Deliver. Every man, everyone is the ploughman, everyone is the seed. And before that, of course, as I said, Ten Pole Tudor, Over the Hills with the Swords of a Thousand Men. And if they don't start behaving themselves, I suspect they might see some of that, don't you, Pat? We were saying in the break, Pat, that they've given us, look, they've got two really good weapons. They've got greed and comfort, and that it's extremely difficult to get people to pay attention when they're comfortable, which I couldn't agree more with. And do you think we're going to start seeing that change?
I wonder, right? I think they made a great big mistake there by trying to tax people with their weapons. That was a big, big mistake. And it's not the first one they'll keep making. They'll always do it. Because every generation has its tipping point.
And I guess the more you're having the piss taken, the more tipping points are going to be reached, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, it really is. I mean, people in Scotland need to pay attention. That wee advert that comes out, it's even on YouTube now, I've seen it the other night. Change is coming to Scotland, right? A lot of new change and all that, right? People coming up to the mark where so quickly after September last year, and then they come on and tell you that the five parties in the Scottish Parliament have all agreed. Is that news to everybody? I don't think so, because they've been in agreement all along, because they all have the same paymaster. And they can't disagree. The disagreement is only for the vulnerable public out here who pay attention to it.
It's to make them think there's something to vote for, isn't it?
Aye. But at the end of the day, the Scottish Government is a provisional government. And it's a total farce. That was proved. It was set up with Donald Trump by using 40,000 votes in the dead in every graveyard in Scotland.
I heard that. Is that common knowledge amongst the people of Scotland? Is that being taken on board by them?
I've mentioned it to a lot of people who were flabbergasted. And I say, how do you think that is a lawmaker when it's perpetrating fraud on everybody that's on this island? And I mean everybody, by the way, right? That's English, Scottish, and everything.
Yeah.
Everybody, right? I mean, a lot of people go, oh, well, that's English law and that's Scots law. That's bugger all of the kind. It's all Scots law. Don't let anybody kid you. You know what I mean? Because if you study the law and go and check in various places, you'll find out that most English common law, the legal sort, has got Scottish input in it. Everywhere.
Everywhere
in the world. I mean, everywhere in the world, now, right? You know that a High Court judge in Scotland, or any judge in Scotland, can go and sit in any court in the world, but it can't work the other way around.
See, it struck me for some time that Scotland is a lot more central to the whole game than we're giving it credit for. I mean, you just look at the number of senior cabinet ministers we've got in England who are Scottish, and it seems to me that's a fairly sustained habit down here. Her Majesty's place is all up in Balmoral and all of that. It somehow looks to me like Scotland, like I say, is in some way as yet to be discovered much more key to the game than we might think it is.
I've always thought that, Nick, to be honest with you, because Scotland has got too much authority, right? It's hidden a lot of times, right? But if the odd thing comes up every now and again, you go, Scotland, I get in there. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But it's not our Scotland, and it's not the English people's England. It belongs to the consul. That's where the con is, right? They'd go like that, Scotland. But they forget to add Scotland LLC or PLC or whatever the hell else you want to call it. And Ireland's the same, Wales is the same, and so is England. They're all the same. Right? I mean, the Edinburgh Parliament, right, is that for the Scottish people? Is the Westminster Parliament for the English people? Is the Irish Parliament for the Irish people? No, they're not. They're companies. And everybody that's in them, as a traitor to themselves and everybody on the same.
And given the amount of influence that Europe appears to have, they're mostly just an expensive waste of space as well.
Well, they're not even making their own decisions, are they?
No.
You tell me, a politician anywhere, that is sitting there writing the so-called legislation that is purported to come to the common man or woman, you'll see.
Again, I think people think that that's where it does come from, but it seems to me that it's coming from business and the corporations.
And who are the ones that are in there who, no matter what they call the government that's in there, all work the same rules all the time?
Yeah.
All the permanent secretaries.
Yes, yeah. Basically, the corporations that are writing the laws are immortal, and the civil service which is enacting them is also immortal. So something definitely needs to change there.
Yeah, they need to get rid of them, because they're not representative of anybody on this planet. No government, I don't care who they are, no government is out there for the people, because they are not obeying anything that the people demand.
Well, they're not even fulfilling the promises that they actually have the bloody gall to print in their own manifestos, are they? They just put a load of stuff in there, and then what happens is something completely different.
Well, see, I have a serious problem with all this manifestos and policy and that. Right? To me, it's all legislation. If it's legislation, it's a fraud. It's as simple as that, right? I mean, we've got this legal situation here, right? Everywhere, right? And we've got all the free men that are in there, they're doing their bit there to confuse everybody, right? And I'll put out a statement as what I haven't done for weeks and weeks now on my own show. You tell me any free man that has ever embarrassed the crown, received a lien, paid out, or anything like that, in the last 700 years, you tell me, or prove to me, that you have been paid out this so-called granted lien or whatever. You prove that to me, and I'll have another look at it.
Because
the last man that done it was Robert Powell, and they killed him. and he was 29 years old, and that was 700 years ago.
It's a very popular weapon to be brandishing, but it doesn't seem to be cutting any ice, does it?
No, no, because it's a sub-judicial system.
So
it
you,
really is a sub-judicial system.
Yeah. You can't use a system that's being used against you because you're not going to find a solution at the level of the problem.
The solution's not in there for you. There is wee mistakes, right, where they have put in there to cover their self, but forgotten legislation to write it the other way. The official offer is one that's ideal for that. That's their solution. But they forgot to write it the way where the people couldn't use it, because they had to write it to guard themselves, and to guard themselves they had to give people the leeway.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. It's dead simple.
Do you think there's any other solutions like that hidden away in there that we might stumble across?
Oh, I think so. I think there's loads of that stuff. Loads of that stuff that we've still yet to have to find them. Mm-hmm. You know? The thing that really bugs me at this moment and now is, and I'll just say it plainly, right? The arsehole that a lot of people make one of the most simplest solutions on the station here, which is RTS.
Mm.
Now, that really bugs me. I was going through a post this morning. I've been up here for a while. Usually I'm anyway, right? So I was going through a few posts on the site, and RTS. I went on there, right, and I'm like, who are these people that write this here? Right? Putting in bits of, my wish is not to contract. There is no contract. Now they're putting that into RTS. Do these people think that we just put this up here because we're not right in the head and we don't disagree with what's happened? It took men and women lots and lots of years to come up with RTS and the language that's used in it. Right? And to be perfectly honest, like, the people that go in there and they insert, we do not have a contract. It is my wish.
Well, they haven't thought about what they're looking at, have they?
They haven't read it. Because they don't understand it, because they're that busy getting fed this three-man rubbish. Oh, well, I'll just put my bit in there. You're not meant to put your bit in there. How many times has it been said, write RTS the way it is, no additions and no subtractions. The wording is specially picked there by a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of trial before it even came anywhere near the site.
And it's been demonstrated in many places and severally to work, so why mess with something that works the way it is?
Correct, because these guys are all into it. That's why the whole free man attitude, the people that don't even understand who they are, why they're here, and why people are rebelling. They're on here and they want to look good. They want to reinvent the wheel all the day. You know what I mean? Reinvent the wheel. Get something that cleans your arse a wee bit quicker. You know what I mean? Doesn't harm. Things don't harm like that. I've used RTS, and I think most of the people on here have used RTS quite numerous times and never had a problem. So how do these people get a problem? Because they're not paying attention.
Yeah, I think it's a great shame, really, because I've got a bit of a debt of gratitude to Veronica Chapman's original work, because I remember being given a copy of the book Freedom is More Than Just a Seven-Letter Word, and getting it home to my bed and breakfast and sitting down. It was late at night, and I thought, I'll just start reading this before I go to bed, and I did read the whole thing, and I thought, hallelujah, but one of the things it does that's really good is it outlines the problem, but one of the things it's not so good at, I think, is offering solutions. And I suspect that the whole thing, I think it presented enough of a threat for it to be well infiltrated, shall we say, and manipulated.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the people never stopped to think, right, that if RTS was open and just an off-the-cuff idea that somebody had in their head and put it up here, and somebody thinks that they can go and just improve on this, or just put their bit in it, just because their ego runs away with them, and I can do better than them, I would suggest that you learn how to read
and understand
what you're reading, not believe bugger all, understand what you're reading before you put pen to paper and make a right ass of yourself. Because anybody that sends that back, anything back like that RTS, has just given them subject matter jurisdiction. You know what I mean? Because the bit I've seen, wish, it was not my wish.
And, yes, indeed, oh dear. Hold on. Hang on a moment, Pat. There we go. Yeah, I lost my internet connection there for a bit. I'm back with you now.
It's okay. I mean, it's so simple. You know, the one with my wish, it's got my wish. It has just blew every sentence out of his own RTS. It's just blew it. It's killed the whole lot. And then he's wondering why he's getting it back. Because for the simple reason that it doesn't come back as nobody, and I mean nobody, on this earth will ever acknowledge a man or a woman in their own right as a sovereign being of this earth. I've seen other ones where they sign BY, sovereign, BY sovereign, BY name in the end. What the hell's a big deal? You sign BY in your name because you are the sovereign man or woman and you're speaking for your body. Not anybody else's. Everybody is sovereign. We all know that. Everybody on this planet is sovereign. It's just that so many people are not aware of their own power. That's the problem we've got.
Just giving it away every day.
Yeah, giving it away every day with stupid conversations and uneducated. And I say uneducated in the means where there's nobody coming on here to educate anybody, right? But there's nobody coming on here to give them advice how to do things, because that is an invasion of the man's or woman's space.
Yeah,
everybody has free will and choice, you know what I mean?
So all you can do is talk about things and leave people to make their own decisions, really.
That's right. But use the things that work. Don't try and corrupt them. You know what I mean? I mean, if you've got a Rolls Royce, which I think RTS is for a lot of people, right? RTS is a Rolls Royce of the Postal Service, if you use it correctly. Because nothing there is making you responsible. You, the man, even you, is a corruption. Nobody should be called you, but it's part of the common language. So they've just worked it in there and everybody falls for it, right?
Yeah.
As I said the other night or somewhere else, right? There's a great article out there. Have a look at it. The Achilles heel is you. Have a read at that. Have a read at that. It's so simple, it's only one page. Have a read at it and educate yourself into who you really are.
Yeah.
It's not the full story, but it will give you a fair definition of how valuable we, as every man and woman on this planet, really are.
And we do. It seems the more we look at this game, the more it seems that we do actually have the advantage. All we've got to learn to do is not give it away.
You've got to use it, right? And we're not going to do it in legalese. You know what I mean? We're just not going to do it because legalese is set in a system not to be abused by the non-believers.
And I mean, quite apart from anything else, they've been writing this legal stuff now for hundreds and hundreds of years. There is so much of it that you'd stand no chance of understanding it anyway. I mean, who'd want to? But the thing is, you can't use a tool that's that complex. There has to be an easier way.
Yeah, and the easier way is there. And it's only three points. No injury, no harm, and no loss.
And if you've not done any of that, you've not done any wrong.
It's impossible to break a law. If you're standing by the law in that, it is impossible for you to cause harm, injury or loss. Totally impossible. That's the power of people. That is the power of people. And we all get it.
So do we think we're working closer to a solution? Because, I mean, it's one thing, if you like, to be keeping the ball out of our own net, using things like the return to sender label and the signing BY colon and the official offer, all of which are pretty much rock solid solutions. What about taking the game into the other half of the field and taking a few shots at the opponent's goal? Do you think we're actually getting to a position where we might start seeing some of the people who are causing harm, loss and damage on a daily basis held to account?
Oh, tell me, right? And your own opinion, to be honest, right? You tell me one single judge anywhere in that judicial system that does not bring injury, harm and loss to at least one person every day.
Or indeed your policeman by the side of the road. You know, he's got targets, he's got lists, he's got numbers as to the number of people he's got to cause harm, harm, injury or loss to
traffic,
in a day.
Traffic police, right?
Targets.
Traffic police. They should not be called traffic police. They're traffic policy enforcers. Because they are out there convicting people of imaginary offences every day.
Yep.
Right? But how many of them would be doing the job when they go like that? Oh, well, you broke that law there and I'm charging you with this. Right? And you go, are you claiming that I have broke a law in your private capacity as a man? What do you think the answer would be?
Do you think you could get him to answer that? He might actually think, even in his private capacity as a man, that you've broken the law.
Oh, I've met one already this week. thinks that he doesn't even make an assumption. He knows he has power over me, you know what I mean? And I went, right, you are, mate. You'll be getting a letter from me. What? I said, you'll be getting a letter from me. Get somebody to help you read it. That's what I'm saying. Right? But, for instance, with the traffic police, right? Every offence that they pull up against you, right, is a fictitious construct. Ever? How can you break a speed bar, right?
Yes,
if you have a light out, if you have a light out in your car, is it your fault or the manufacturer's fault for bad manufacturing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things here, you know what I mean? And at the end of the day, who says that you, as a man or a woman, need a licence? Who is making the claim that you need a licence to take yourself from here to there?
Do you think if you asked them that question, they would say, I am making that claim, or do you think they know enough not to say that?
No, they all know enough not to say that. If you do, but you've got to ask them the question in the correct manner. Are you making a claim that I have committed a crime? Mm-hmm. They'll probably come away with, no, that's the Procurator Fiscal's job. You're the one that's standing here and bumping your gums. The words are coming out of your mouth. So are you making the claim? You know what I mean? Very simple. I'm not going to do it, man. You know what I mean? And that whole blasted thing goes on right through the Procurator Fiscal's office, the sheriffs, the judges, the whole lot of them, right? They all play the same game. Right?
Just...
Now, the fallacy that you can only pull them if they're in their office with their oath of office. They take the oath to their office, but the office can't work unless they're in it. And the words come out of their mouth. The office can't speak, can't act, can't breathe. So who's committing the offence? Mm-hmm. You know? That's the way I see it. You know what I mean? I think we make too many allowances for these so-called thieves. That's what they're thieves. There's no other way to do it.
And
they all agree on others.
If you try asking them whether they've got a claim against you, presumably they just play pass the parcel with that.
No, they can't. If you have a name, right? Well, put it this way, right? If you take Mr. T's question, right? Do you have a complaint against me, right? Well, that's a very clever question, by the way, right? But it's a very clever question in a lot of levels. It's not just as plain as it looks, right? You ask the judge, do you have a complaint against me? Some smart judges will go like, no, I haven't got one, but I'm sure the Procurator Fiscal will have one. That's not the question you were asked. Do you have a complaint against me? Because if he says yes, he's got to recuse himself, because he's not in passion.
Mm. Yeah, I see. Yeah, I hadn't spotted that. That is clever, isn't it? That Mr. Yeah. T, he is a one, isn't he?
Oh, man. Well, Vin fired me out to him at one time, and I wasn't, because I wasn't expecting it, right? Vin being Vin, and But actually, well, one was alone in it, you know, in a few of them. We ends up, I think it was me and Willie McAllister, it was that, me and Willie McAllister, I think. We were at our Gillan Castle, right, and we got sucked in at this table. There was an old guy there, and there was an Irish guy, and me and Willie. Right, sitting there going, oh, how you doing? Hey, that's Mr. T guy. Right? Oh, right, and they're all sitting in the corner, they were killing themselves, man. Oh, yeah. You know, Willie's going like that to me. You going to ask him a question? I says, Willie, are you off here? You know what I mean? I says, that we've just done the general chat, but he still got his wee batter. You know what I mean? Hey, some man. Very, very clever man, you know what I mean? Mm. Very clever man.
So, have you basically, for the judge, have you got a complaint against me? Is a real catch 22 question.
Oh, you have a complaint against
me? Do you have a complaint against me? Yeah.
He can answer for anything but himself.
Yeah.
That's the thing a lot of people miss.
And he can't say yes.
He can't say yes, because if he says yes, he has just recused himself for trying you.
Mm. Yeah.
That's one of his things, you know what I mean? And it's the same with the this is the same there, right? Well, I better mention that one, because main admins put it up in it. Civil or criminal, right?
Yeah, another good one.
What is the difference between civil or criminal?
Civil is
the top of your head.
Civil is to do with money, and criminal is to do with causing harm, loss, or damage.
Partially right. Criminal is the conversion of all the civil codes, right? Civil, there's no penalties in civil law. You know that.
Mm.
No penalties. So how can you?
So they need to push you into the criminal.
They need to push you into the criminal conversion. That's why it's called criminal law. It's not called criminal law for nothing. The criminals make it.
That's right, yeah, it is criminal. It's absolutely criminal.
Yeah, you better believe it. You know, I mean, it's all... I mean, they put things in your face all the time. It really is. The only way that I think we can beat them is with something that tells them exactly who every man and woman is on this planet, on their own merit, not on somebody else's merit. You know?
Yeah.
Correct their logic. At the end of the day, no injury, no harm, no loss works everywhere, because it's inherent natural law. Bring forth the injured part, because no office, no fiction can present themselves to register a complaint against you, right?
Yeah.
But the main thing is, nobody can make a claim against you, because the whole civil legal system cannot deal with a claim. They only deal with complaints, and a complaint is not a conviction.
Mm. So it is, do you have a complaint against me? Do you have a claim against me? Would be something completely different, wouldn't it?
If you say, do you have a... Well, you ask them, very simply, do you, in your private capacity, have a claim against me?
Mm-hmm.
Or claiming that you're not telling the truth? They will not answer that.
Mm-hmm.
They will not. Why won't they answer it? Because if they do, they're in full liability for telling a lie to you, plus whatever else turns up. They are liable for everything they say to you. All this rubbish here about, oh, they just keep moving the liability a bit. How can they keep moving liability a bit? When that guy that's sitting there at Cosy Cell, a judge, is neither in the office or out it, but the words come out of his mouth.
Mm.
As a man, the words come out of his mouth, he's liable. I would say so.
Yeah.
You know? It's as simple as that. That's the way I see it. You know, I think we're playing too many games with these people where they should be. All these politicians have got going like that. Well, we should shoot 100 a day for all the benefit claims, right? Is that right? Are you making the claim here in your private capacity, sir? None of this legal bullshit. You know what I mean? I'm in my office. You're never out your office, because it's always your voice or your mouth that's making the claim. So you, as a man, are liable. You can't be any other way. You just can't be any other way. We make too many allowances for them, I think.
Yes, making life complicated for ourselves.
Yeah, that's right. You know. Because I've maintained for a very, very long time, and I mean this sincerely, Nick, right? And that's one of the benefits that I've had since I ever came to TNS, PI, whatever, right? The station, the people have stood together, and they've always come back together, right?
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. Because people feel secure here with people that they know and are out doing the thing. It's as simple as that. There's nothing stronger on this earth than a man or woman who knows and understands their own power.
I think the other thing about it is that when somebody turns up, as they occasionally do in the chat box, who doesn't know their own power or thoroughly comprehend what's going on, they stick out like a sore thumb. I really enjoy it.
Oh yeah, I mean, sometimes when you see the statements you put in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, we don't get it so much now, but the way it started, PIR, we didn't know that.
Oh, we did, yeah.
So-called free men and try to jump on the thing with it, but they didn't last long.
No, they didn't.
Because you're giving them answers and they're going, what? Yeah. Yeah. That'd be a clue.
Any trolls coming in here better bring their own bridge.
Aye, in their own armour.
Yeah.
Because although we get supplied, you know what I mean? It's as simple as that. The people that are on this site are far too well informed to be conned by any of that rubbish.
Well, even after 4 years of listening to it and paying close attention, I still feel pretty ignorant, I must admit. Although some things have sunk in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they always come in their own time. Right?
Yeah.
That's the thing. All you need is a will to be able to listen. You know what I mean? Because it's been said on here 1,000 times, nobody can do it for you.
Nope.
You know?
No, it is entirely a journey of self-development, but we're taking it together.
Yeah, 100%. That's right. Because you've got to teach yourself that nothing is stronger than you. And if nothing's stronger than you, why should you be afraid to present yourself? When you go into these courts here, right, and they're going, right, well, that bank is going to take your house, right? It's an entity. How can it take your house? Because a guy represents it. Don't be shy. That's the guy that's representing the case for the so-called court. Is he accepting the full liability in his private capacity for any statement that he will make here today? Ask him. Don't be afraid of it. Because the minute you mention full liability, the bank doesn't have a solicitor. It's as simple as that, because they will not do it. They will not do it. They're terrified. They haven't accept anything in full liability. And if you want to understand the scale of that, say, right, we'll say DWP, for instance, right? How many people do you think, just offhand, they get ripped off between pensions and benefits every day?
One way or the other, nearly everybody, I suspect, in the long run.
Well, you take it, if they accept the responsibility in their private capacity, they will be paying you, and many others will they be working the rest of their life to pay off with no house or anything under their feet.
That's a good question. Are you accepting full liability in your private capacity for any statement you make here today?
You don't have to tell them full liability. Just say, are you accepting liability for making that statement?
Yeah.
Against me, a man or a woman? Right, whatever. Right? If they say yes, say no more. That's it. Be done. There's a thing. Send the wheel out. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very simple. And when we get the results back for it, we'll post everything on the site like we've just seen.
Yeah,
it's not difficult, people.
I'm looking forward to seeing that, because I know that, Guy Taylor's got to the point where he's been taken out, and he's not the only one, where people are trying to take out private prosecutions against the individuals that have caused them so much grief and loss and harm and everything else. And the Crown Prosecution Service is just dumping the cases, so it doesn't seem to be going well as a theory, that one.
100%. And I hear a lot of people on about, we'll do this at Queen's Bench. Queen's Bench is no less corrupt than the rest of the system. People need to get that in their head. It's not the Queen's Bench is not a corruption-free zone. They're lawyers. They're judges. They're all liars. That's their business.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
You're not going to find a few honest ones just kind of clustered together in a specific court, you're saying?
No, you won't. You won't, right? You take it, right? Anybody that's a judge in any shape or form, right? Any shape or form, for say 6 months, do you think that he's got a disease because he enjoys ruling over people who do not understand the power of God? He has that disease and he has it bad. So you give that same power to somebody who's been doing that for 15, 20 years. Think of the amount of people that they have harmed on their own, and then add it up collectively between all the judges throughout the country. That's some amount of harm to issue on people on a daily basis. Stealing their kids, stealing their property, making their life a misery, making them homeless, stealing their home. You know what I mean? And these people are doing that. And they think they have a right. But when you put the case to them, are you making the claim? Because that's the only thing the legal system cannot handle. They cannot handle a claim. They word it as claim, and they say it as claim. But they can't handle it. The only thing they can handle is a complaint, not a claim. It's just one of these things, people, you've got to be realistic. Learn to think simple. Don't think in the complicated manner that courts are in, or people that think they're in a court, or they have a power over you. Nobody on this planet, whether it's your next door neighbour, your brother, your sister, anybody, nobody has any power over you. When you come to the age where you can understand what's happening around about you, nobody can touch you. You're on your own. But you're not on your own as in you're out there alone. There is people out here that can help you, guide you to different things. The only thing they can't do is do it for you. That's what it comes down to you. You know, it's very simple.
And it has to be kept very simple, doesn't it? Because anything less than simple is extremely dodgy and dangerous.
Well, if it's so simple, to be honest with you, right, it causes controversy, right? If you cause controversy, lawyers get fat. You know, and that's the whole point. You know? It's just one of these things where people have got to be able to look at the pig in the mirror, right? If you don't understand you're the pig, you are the idiot. And I don't mean idiot in a bad way. Idiot's a legal word in case people don't know that.
Yeah.
Right? For people that do not understand.
Yeah. Lunatic's another one, isn't it?
Yeah. No, there's quite a few.
Yeah, there are.
You know, but that is, but when you call people an idiot, they think you're insulting them because they don't know enough. Right? But the basic thing is right, because they don't know enough. But a lot of people seem to take a terrible... they take a terrible umbrage because an idiot.
They don't, yeah, right? If you call them an idiot, yeah, they're not keen on it, are they?
They don't stop to think about why, you know? They really don't stop to think about why. You know, it's very, very simple. And if you keep things simple, then complication, legalese, cannot touch you. Teach yourself how to avoid it. Teach yourself how to listen for the so-called, if you're going to courts or different things like that, even writing letters to certain places, always watch for the legalese that tries to get you to admit being Mr., Mrs., and Miss.
It's fundamentally a game of dodgems, isn't it, rather than a boxing match?
Yeah, yeah. There's no need for violence. To be honest, there's no need for violence here, right? I mean, people deal in their own way, right? If people go out there and commit any act of violence against anybody, right? For a start, you've broken natural law. Totally broke it. You can't do that. And if you want to live in a sovereign world where respect is number one, and the bullshit is at the bottom of the pack, teach yourself that. You cannot obey the law by breaking. You cannot. And it's not man-made law. It's very simple, folks. I know it'll be hard to change, but the time that we're thinking about, or even the time scale that we're thinking about. I know that. But at the end of the day, if we are not the ones causing injury, harm or loss, we have no reason for fear.
And big changes start small.
Yeah, that's correct. Right? But you can feel it. You can feel it when you're talking to people where people are not so gullible, right? In fact, I find that a lot of people now are so hungry for knowledge that when they get the knowledge, sometimes it's too much for them. You know, well, you give them a wee bit, you know what I mean? But you give people wee bits of knowledge. It's so overwhelming for them to how simple that is, that they kick us in. You know, and that has a part to play in what we're doing. But we can't do it by telling people the simplest things in complicated language. We can't do it. It can be done. You know, well, that's my opinion anyway. Mm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's good to have simple things to be able to tell people, because quite often by the time they need to know, they're under a lot of stress and it'd be extremely difficult for them to take on the hard stuff. Also, I must admit, I was very pleased to find that, because I think all of us get distracted every now and then by more complex what are passing for solutions anyway. And I think it's very pleasing to see, as time's going by, that there are simple solutions to what are basically quite complicated problems. And I think that, I'm hoping that we're going to see a lot more of that generally. I'm hoping that simple is where we're going, because the whole thing has got so complicated that it really is a bit tiring.
Yeah, well, I think that simplicity is the answer. I mean, there's a lot of guys on here, Vince says it all the time, so keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, how difficult is it? You know, there's a lot of other people say it all the time. I never stop saying simplicity, and I'll never apologise for it. Because everything simple is simple. All you have to do is do a bit of thinking and strip the bones off of everything till you can't take it anymore, and the answer's staring you in the face. It's very, very simple. Some people have a problem with life when it's not complicated.
That's just going to get you into trouble.
Yeah, that's it.
So have they ever managed to talk you into a court then, Pat? I know you've been in on other people's behalf, as it were, in an emergency, but they ever dragged you in?
Oh, years ago, I was always very lucky in the courts, Nick, you know, but I wasn't always as passive as what I'm doing, you know what I mean? I mean, at one time, there was a copper on my back at one time, right, for no reason, by the way. I hardly knew this guy, right? And he had never, ever lifted me for anything, right? Just took an emergency meeting and passed me near living night, because I was a taxi driver, right? And he passed me every night, and Paul the Motor and all this, right? He knew the snidey remarks and everything, you know? And I just happened to say to him, because I was sick of him, right? And he says, do you know something? There's one of these nights here where I'm going to meet you in a very, very dark alley. You know what I mean? But it never happened that way, right? What happened was, we were at a night out, and why I only had 2 pints, that's all I had, 2 pints, and hadn't even finished the same, right? And the wee rumpus started in the company we were in, right? So I gets the guy out, right? There's about 40 of us at this gathering, right? So it was a case of either day something here or something's going to get mangled, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, yeah.
So it had to be done, right? So I went, right, you, taxi, out. Right, takes a guy out, put him in the taxi, walks back down to the club, right, the door's locked, right? And I'm standing in this queue, right? And the brother of the guy that I just flung out, standing right behind me, right? So this copper comes in the door, like, the bouncer had obviously thrown the police, right? So your man comes down, sees me, going like that. He says, move. And I never say then. He says, I tell you to move. I says, well, I'm only going to tell you once, right? This badge is no working on anything, right? Right? And he just fired the handcuffs out, well, he got them in one hand, right? Oh, man, you ever hear the expression, right? The black shutters just come down. That's what happened. I dragged the guy half a way up the street, right? To get to this bus stop, then I flung him out in front of the first bus that was coming. Right. I was right, because I just had had enough of the guy, right? That's how bad he was, right?
Yeah.
And he had just committed the offence, he touched me, and that was it. He didn't just touch me.
Yeah.
You know, and anyway, I'll no tell you the rest of that one there, but when I get to the court, I'm in the court all morning, sitting there, 2 o'clock custody court, and they can't go back to me, right, you're next, right, everybody else in the place, right, because it caused a wee bit of mayhem among the police that were attended, you know what I mean, at that time, but everybody else was in the place, so we all had lawyers, you know, and 5 to 2 of them got up to England, and the guy tries to hand me the paperwork. I says, listen, mate, do you know where you can shove that? You know what I mean? Because I'm convinced that I'm getting to jail, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I went, right, okay, we'll give them this bit, right? My fault, I should have kept my cool. You know what I mean? And I didn't. And I got up there, and the man in the white goes like that, how do you plead? I said, well, no way to plead anything, right? But I'm guilty of the actions that I caused, right? Oh, that's fine. £250 fine. Not another word, right? Well, that was me again. I'm sitting there like, you know how you've got the wooden fence between you and the judge and all that, right? And I'm pulling all that, man. I'm going, right, the rage is seizing through me, man. You know what I mean? Because they fined me more than £100, my livelihood was up the spout for 5 years.
Really? You lost your taxi licence because of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, oh, well, I came out of there, went way up the road, get washed and shifted. But my anger's not going away. So right down, back down to the police station, went like that. I said, listen, I'm not going behind anybody's back here. And that, but it's nice to be nice here, right? I says, but you tell your man there that caused that to me. First time I see him day and proper, I don't care if it's the afternoon, the middle of the night, or whatever it is, he's getting it. You know what I mean? They were like, you can't do that at the police station. I said, I've just done it, I'm telling you. I'm not going behind them, just back, just straight up. You know what I mean? But I never ever get a chance to do it. You know what I mean? It was Orsky. But that's life.
Yeah. You know? Probably you just as well. Oh.
Aye. Well, at the end of the day, there's none of us come up through the ranks of being saints, you know what I mean? Because they were all fictions anyway, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, Look at St. Patrick, right? They put him allegedly on the island to get rid of the snakes, right? But look at the state he left. Look at the state he left in place in. You know what I mean? There's more snakes on it now than what there has been.
Perhaps he did get rid of them, and they've all kind of arrived since then. There certainly do seem to be breeding the snakes, I'll agree.
Definitely. So anyway, I'm going to call it quits now.
That sounds good to me, mate. That's been a really good chat. Thanks very, very much for joining me. I'm looking for... Hopefully I'll see you again soon. It must be time for another trip up to Scotland to come up and see Scotland's real hidden authority, which is lorry.
the taxi control.
Yeah.
it'd be good to see you, mate.
Now, that'd be really good, Pat, and thanks, like I say, for joining me, and for those few of you out there who don't know, Pat's show is Scotland is Free, and it's on Monday nights between 9 and midnight, and I try whenever possible not to miss it. I'm often free on Monday nights, and I do enjoy listening to you, mate. Just keep up the good work.
Thanks very much, mate. Right. Thanks very much.
I'll let you go, and I'll play...
I'll get a wee bit of bike to myself, so yeah. We'll see if we can pep things up a bit.
Very good.
Okay, thanks very much for having me, Nick. Catch you later, folks. Good night and thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks for being there, Pat. I'll see you soon, mate. Bye-bye.
You're welcome, mate. Cheers, mate.
So that's Pat Veldon. I regard as a good friend of mine. I've listened to him live and on the radio and always enjoy what he's got to say. And I think one of the things that Laurie put into the chat box there is really important. It's a technique that probably works best for me, is that by Listening to podcasts again and again is really helpful, even with the simple ones. You can feel that you've got the hang of it and stuff, but it's not until you've I find personally, it's not till I've listened to it 3, 4, 5 times that it kind of sinks in. And the other thing that works really well for me is hearing the same thing said by different people. So you'll get a different thing from Mr. T than you'd get from Vin, say, that you get from Pat. They might be talking about the same thing. They might all, for example, be talking about the return to sender label, which I shall read out just for people who don't know it. I'm sure everybody's heard it, but it's well worth getting the exact words out there. These people might all be talking about the same thing. It might seem to be a simple subject, but each time it's discussed, it's different. Each time there's just a little bit more light shone on it. Each time there's a little less shade and a little more light on the subject concerned. And like I say, one of the things, and I think Pat agrees with me, one of the things I really love about People's Internet Radio is that these solutions are simple. The other thing I really like is that we've now got several that really work. And I must be honest, I'm still, you know, we're coming up to the season now for getting back out into the field, getting back out into festivals, getting back out into talk spaces and meeting people, finding out what they've been up to over the winter. And there's only a limited amount of other stuff that works. Some of the things that work for people work because they've got a huge amount of professional experience and knowledge behind them and so can play the system from the inside. But by and large, people do not have a lot of luck when they try the complicated experiments. So I think keeping it simple is a really great idea. A bit like my musical taste, really, keep it simple. So the return to sender label, if I remember rightly, says, "Return to sender, I do not recognise you. I do not understand your intent. I do not have an international treaty with you. No assured value, no liability. And it works in all sorts of conditions where you do not believe that you have a contract with the individual who is trying to give you grief." And the official offer is quite possibly worth considering when you're in a position where you feel that you do actually have some sort of contract that you have to honour in one way or the other. So there you go. One for places where you don't have a contract, one for places where you do. And I've been told by many people that I should nowadays not be giving my autograph to anybody, but if I do, it should have BY colon in front of it. Three very, very simple things. I love them, don't you? And I love PIR. It's really great to see all of you out there. It's been busy in the chat box tonight. Thanks very much for listening. As it is, I've got quite a lot of people going to sleep around me now, so I feel that I should probably go quiet as well. And I shall play you out with a few tunes up until midnight. I've no idea what will be going on next Thursday or who I'll be talking to, but I'm sure somebody will pop up. They normally do. In the meantime, thanks, of course, to People's Internet Radio just for being there, for being the varied place that it is as well. Still, I'll be back in the gardens again for the next couple of weeks, so I'll have time to catch up on a few podcasts and rave about them. But definitely thanks to PIR for making room for me to be here. Thanks to all of you for listening. And thanks to Nick Nomic for doing the show before me. It's really great to have some music to listen to when I'm getting ready. And thanks for your help with the mic as well, Nick. That was really grand. So, like I say, see you all next week. Here's, to begin half an hour or so's music, here's The Race from Yellow, because I think it is getting to be a bit of a race now, isn't it? You can feel them picking up speed. Who's going to get to the finish line first, guys? Best of luck to you all. See you next week.